And then she goes, "Can you go now? Can you go?" With her hands, she gestured in the most condescending way possible. I have no idea where she learned that from. And I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm humiliated. And I was like, she just dismissed me.
Well, welcome to Highly Questionable, where my favorite almost three-year-old be putting her mama L Duncan out the room. Monica McNutt, what's going on? Let's make some TV. Woo.
Have the 76ers figured out Trae Young?
Oh, Trey the Barge was only 6 for 16 from the floor for 21 points. A lot of those points being the result of insurance fraud as he did his thing where he makes it look like you hit him when you really didn't. And he gets to the free throw line. That's how he manages to put points up. Now, do I think that the Sixers have figured him out? I think it's a little too early to say that, right? I do think that Doc Rivers did figure out that you can't be afraid that Ben Simmons is going to foul out just because Trey the Barge engages in insurance fraud. You're going to have to give him a chance to jump in front of your car at the intersection and then try to get a settlement. You're just going to have to do that here and there because your other guys, Thibault maybe can handle the job, but nobody else really can do it. But still, for the Hawks, you came out of this with a 1-1 split, and you did look good at times in the course of this. I still feel like they're ultimately going to win the series, but when Embiid scored 40, I don't know what chance anybody has against the Sixers.
I actually think that the secret to figuring out Trey is kind of about that secondary role person, though, too. And, Bo, that nickname for Trey, chef's kiss, that was fabulous. But I will say, the way that Joel Embiid made the adjustments to either block Trey coming down for that floater or to deny Capella in the role, the Sixers have guys that they can send to the rim to take away at least the role, the way that the Knicks didn't in terms of meeting Capella or Collins there and forcing Trey into some wild passes across the court that were turnovers yesterday. Had they figured it out? I expect Trey to make some adjustments, but I actually think it's more about how they defend the role guy as much as it is about Trey.
I totally agree with you. Also, when it comes to Trey, I like it. I really, really like it.
We know.
No, okay. I was going with DeBarge. That was my attempt.
I was with you.
You were feeling me a little bit. You know what I mean? Okay. You send chills up and down my spine, Bo. Thank you. I would say that they didn't necessarily figure out Trey. I think they just figured out, like, Danny Green ain't the one. Like, they were like, well, he's not going to be the one to defend him anymore. We're going to have to make some adjustments. Although he did do a more admirable job yesterday than he did in game one. Ben Simmons did a really solid job against Trey. I think they just did better, right, defending the screen, which is what they utilized quite a bit, Atlanta, in order to, as Bo said it, allow Trey to get some of that insurance fraud. To me, the issue is not about him, because I do think the Hawks still have a better bench. At one point, they were outscoring the Sixers bench 32-0, which is some kind of playoff record, I imagine. The problem is to Bo's point, when Joel Embiid is playing like he is, that's a huge problem, in particular when the Hawks are missing DeAndre Hunter. And I don't think enough is made about that, because while no, he cannot defend Joel Embiid one-on-one, he can defend anybody else there. And guys like Tobias Harris are eating. And that is a direct reflection of not having great perimeter defense. It's no knock on Solomon Hill, but he is not the answer. And when push comes to shove, good or bad, no matter what it looks like on the court, some things are meant to be. And I'm sorry, y'all, but when Shake Milton comes in and starts looking like Pistol Pete, the Sixers got to win that game, dog.
Let's go.
No, that was the thing. Go. And the thing with Hunter that's important is, yeah, I saw that stat that was that 32-0 in the first half about Ben scoring, but that wasn't about the Hawks bench. All those points were basically between two guys, like Gallinari and Herder combined for 30. Somebody else got two. I don't even know who it is necessarily, but this is shaped up to be a great series because it's chippy too. They throwing elbows out there. We got Embiid throwing people to the ground, everything else. Like, this is fun basketball. I am just glad that we got fun basketball.
Off the top of my head, I think that two might have been Lou Williams. But Atlanta's second unit is definitely the Goon Squad. But I'll take your bench can do their thing. If the starters for the Sixers play ball and are intentional and intense the way they opened up game two, I mean, let's be honest. It took them 3.5 quarters to warm up in game one.
And let's also talk about this. Like, I mean, Doc Rivers is going to be mad at me for this. Ben Simmons took 3 shots in the whole game. Took 3 of them in the... I just don't understand how somebody that good just doesn't want to shoot. All the guys who can't shoot want to do it. You don't.
He had the perfect excuse. He's like, wow, you gave me the assignment of Trey, so I'm just going to focus on this. I'm not doing anything else.
So strange.
After last night, are you starting to believe the Jazz are as good as their record says?
All right, so the Jazz pulled out a close win against the Clippers last night. However, the Jazz were playing without Mike Conley, so to even win this game without such an important player makes you look at the Jazz and be like, so really, are they as good as their record? But the question isn't about whether the team is as good as the record. The question is whether the players are as good as the record, because we've seen that kind of esprit de corps situation, play hard, play well, execute all that stuff, and then you get to the playoffs and you just don't have the bodies, and that turns into an issue. Donovan Mitchell, though. That's a number one, right? We know that. Rudy Gobert, maybe the best defensive player in the league. And they're in a place where with Conley back or with Bogdanovich, where you feel like they got another guy that can step up and hit shots if one of those other guys isn't playing as well as they ordinarily have. So maybe, just maybe, they can do it. But I'm just telling you, you are asking for a whole lot of all of us to buy into the idea that the Utah Jazz are the best team in the playoffs. Because let me tell you something. If they beat the Clippers in this series, nobody in charge of the Clippers is going to be over there talking about, well, you know, they just play really well together. They're going to be saying, we got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and we should be able to beat a team simply by having those two dudes.
Yeah, I feel like the Jazz are such an enigma, right? Like, you lead the league in wins, yet the star player on your franchise, right, on the winningest team in the NBA didn't even, I believe, crack top 15 in NBA MVP voting. They're always relegated to NBA TV. They're on the West Coast. And let's just be real, it's Utah. No one really cares. And I think, you know, they've had this opportunity the last couple of postseasons, but in particular last year, to really have the attention and the eye and to solidify themselves with their record as contenders, as true contenders, and they just seem to shrink and shrivel in these big moments, just like they did last year. I am hopeful, like you said, Bo, that this might be the year for the Jazz because of the fact that they won with Mike Conley in street clothes and because of the fact that Jordan Clarkson's playing some of his best postseason basketball of his career, and because, of course, Donovan Mitchell. But he always eats. Like, that's what he does in the playoffs. I believe he's already like sixth all time in playoff average and scoring. Like, he's 24 years old, so he always tends to do this. But the real question is, do we know enough about this team to know whether they will rise to the occasion in these big moments? Because to your point, record aside, you're talking about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And we saw, like they did towards the end of that Mavericks series, if they want to and decide to take over, they absolutely can.
So I was with you guys. And then I did a little bit of digging into the numbers in terms of what the Jazz have been able to accomplish in this postseason. And they're like top five in all the statistical categories outside of points allowed over the course of the postseason. And if you really think about it, I'm all in on this changing of the guard. This will be the first time since 1984 none of these organizations that we see left have been in the finals. The only thing we're leaning on are the names. And yes, Kawhi is Kawhi. But do we not remember that it took a crazy buzzer beater versus the Sixers to actually get him over that hump? I'm not taking anything away from him. But on this one, I'm actually willing to lean into the numbers in terms of what the Jazz have been able to do all season and what we saw them do in game one. This is also the moment in which Donovan Mitchell can absolutely elevate himself so that he's not overlooked in terms of not being top 15 in the
MVP
voting.
But Monica, put the numbers aside, Monica. Do you just in your gut believe in the Jazz?
Here's the question. Is it less belief in the Jazz or more belief in the Clippers? Because it's not like we're talking about the Clippers, an organization that we can trust either.
Yeah.
Hold on, Monica, this is my thing. You just threw Kawhi Leonard's first finals MVP out the window. That one didn't matter. You just went straight to the bounce, bounce, bounce shot. You know what time it is. If we go denigrate the Clippers, we go denigrate Paul 4-for-16 George, because he came out there and stunk it up again. Like, you said the thing about a Kawhi Leonard or Paul George want to get it done, they can get it done. No, Kawhi Leonard wants to get it done, he can get it done. If Paul George wants to get it done, he just hope it happened.
Up next on HQ.
The ironic part about this, Bo, to me, is that in baseball, where they have been complaining for years and years and years about pace of play, they now want to eliminate the one thing that actually speeds up games, and that is pitchers' duels.
Nobody wants what this is, right? And now baseball is basically going, but they're going to stop and frisk, right? Like, they just go come out there every now and then up against the wall and see what you got. But I don't know what other solution they have.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. Highly Questionable is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Loki. Don't miss the original series streaming this Wednesday on Disney+. Do you question if Garrett Cole made things better or worse with this answer?
Okay, so baseball is trying to crack down on cheating with pitchers using foreign substances to affect the way that the ball spins. But see, unlike steroids, which was cheating that was making people money, this is the kind of cheating that is hurting people's money because nobody wants to watch pitchers be this dominant. Now, Gerrit Cole has been accused of using some kind of tacky stuff. They're going to ask, say it in the question, right? It sounds like a generic brand, but apparently it's the rage among baseball players and works really well.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't. I don't know. I don't know if. I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer it. You know. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger
generation.
Players, from the last generation of players. To this generation of players, and, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot, you know, and
this is again, painful.
Like I mentioned earlier, there's. You know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. This is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction.
This is a word salad.
Man, I understand I am an adult. There's some lies that you just have to tell, right? Like, I don't want to get too hyper-moral about it, but I would think that he would be better prepared to tell this lie before he got out here. He just seemed like, wow, somebody really asked me about this, the biggest news story in baseball, and I'm the guy that all of a sudden turned into a monster in 2019. And there's a story in Sports Illustrated saying that at least two teams have hired chemists to help them with this. This is what happens when you get all this damn Ivy League in your baseball. It was kind of cute when people were just cheating on their own and coming up with stuff. Now you got dudes out here calling in real live professionals who are vastly, vastly, vastly overpaid. If you are getting them to tell you, put some sticky stuff on your hands and it'll help you cheat better.
All I have for this one is that the PR staff has to be preparing their people. Like, this is where a little bit of charisma goes a long way. Dude, are you really asking me that question? Ha ha. Do you use spider talk? Like, you can't be like ready to tell the truth, but then
reverse
also about
psychology.
To explain it. Yeah, like we went from I don't know how to answer that to customs to I think there's some things that are frowned upon too. Like, just crack a joke, dude. Crack a joke.
My favorite part though is that he went full like, I learned it by watching you, Dad.
Yes.
Like he blamed the forefathers, like the ancestors of baseball made me do it. You know, listen, you could say if you looked at the numbers, if you were into that sort of thing, that when he went to Houston, Gerrit Cole, that his spin rate did jump, that his velocity did take an uptick. The thing that drives me the most nuts about this is that it's sort of understood that pitchers always use aids. I mean, I certainly in my day, even in fast pitch, played with pitchers that would use a little something, something, right, to help with their grip. But their complaint is, well, if I can't use these substances, then I'm going to be pitching these 100-mile-per-hour pitches, and I don't know where they're going to go. Well, then that pitch shouldn't be in your repertoire if you need to use some sticky substance in order to not careen someone in the head with it. So either crack down on it or not. But the ironic part about this, Bo, to me, is that in baseball, where they have been complaining for years and years and years about pace of play, they now want to eliminate the one thing that actually speeds up games, and that is pitchers' duels.
But nobody wants what this is, right? And now baseball is basically
boring.
But they're going to stop and frisk, right? Like, they just go come out there every now and then up against the wall and see what you got. But I don't know what other solution they have, because there's no, like, when I look back at when I was a kid and guys would get caught cheating, it took something big to happen for you to actually be able to catch them cheating, right? Joe Niekro throwing the Emery board out of his back pocket. Kevin Gross getting caught going up and down in his glove. With this other stuff, since baseball is all about grown men touching themselves, you can always put a little something here, put a little something there, grab your cup and scratch it around. Like, there's all these different ways to do it. And now they're going to have to stop and frisk, which means that some umpire is going to have to give one of them club frisks to one of them dudes. And that's when it's going to get uncomfortable.
Do you question which hitter had the more embarrassing non-home run?
All right, so we're going with non-home runs here. First, Cabrian Hayes of the Pirates.
He swats this one down the right field line towards the pole.
Looks like a home run to me.
Yeah.
That's a home run. For granted.
No, 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 no.
No!
I was so confused as to how it wasn't a home run.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Dang. Hold on. And now we have minor leaguer Bobby Witt Jr., who makes me feel old, not because I simply remember his father, Bobby Witt, pitching, but his father, Bobby Witt, pitched so long ago that I can't believe his junior is now in the minors. What do we have?
Witt swings, sends it high in the air and deep to left field. Martinez turning and looking. It is gone.
Wow.
Home run.
How's this not a home run?
Oh,
oh no.
Oh,
God.
Oh, shut
no.
up.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is worse.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, and he did a shuffle.
Oh, they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I can't imagine how excited they are. Like, that. Man, you know what just happened.
He missed it?
He missed it. Nick Prado
out. He just shuffled right over it. Oh, wow.
Oh, I thought he stepped on it. Oh.
The answer is yes. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Cabrian should have noticed more because a base feels like a base. You know what I mean? But. Nah, man, y'all are both holding nails.
Ah, I'm going with Witt Jr. You got to complete the play, man. You were right there. You're going to dance on it, do a 1-2 step on it.
I feel like there are dark forces at play when it comes to the Pirates because, you know, one day it's Cabrian, but it's also the team that brought us this.
No chance to get him.
Literally the worst base running of all time. The worst base running of all time. Tag the base!
This is actually kind of hilarious.
Awful.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
This is the Pirates. So this is us.
Oh, boy.
Oh!
This is peak Three Stooges. Where's the music?
Look at Rizzo, yo. He can't stop laughing. It's so embarrassing. He's laughing you off the field.
Hot mess.
Better than the me.
Tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Game 2, Nuggets and Suns.
Can we give it up for the 2020-2021 MVP, Nikola Jokic? I still don't know why y'all don't want to get on board with this. It's so much fun to watch. He is so good, and he has carried a team with all these injuries and everything else. And if you want to see what his humble beginnings were, this is what it looked like on the broadcast when he got drafted in the second round with the 41st pick. I was hoping that rather than to be on commercial, like, you know, the dudes who pay their own way to the draft and then their name gets called out and the next thing you know, they're emerging from the crowd like it's a wrestling gimmick. I was hoping it would be one of those, like imagining Jokic in the 400s with his knees to his chest and then finally coming down there in some cheap suit. That was what I was hoping for. But congratulations to the man. Elle, are you intrigued?
Super intrigued, not only because I'm here for all of the Nikola Jokic jokes, but also because – like, he has had a really hard time with DeAndre Ayton this season, and I'm loving it. I'm loving that in his first game since being crowned MVP, he might have his lunch handed to him by someone that just, a season and a half ago, people were calling a bust. I'm totally in.
Yeah, it was more fun when Jokic was giving the blues to Nurkic, whose job he took. And Nurkic did not like that at all.
He did not.
Monica, you intrigued?
I am intrigued. As exciting as the Quesarito, a.k.a. the MVP, is, I'm with L, though. This is about the Phoenix Suns to me, baby. I already think that the Nuggets have kind of outkicked their coverage in the absence of Jamal Murray. This is where it probably stops.
Tonight on ESPN, Royals and Angels.
All right. That sounds cool enough, and it sounds cool because Shohei Ohtani, and you're wondering, gee, what makes Shohei Ohtani so cool? Let's get a watch at this. Like 470 feet.
Yikes.
470 feet.
Wow.
He can also throw 99 miles per hour.
Where's his spider tack?
Like, I feel like you should be allowed to cheat if you're playing against him. Like, I mean, I understand. Like, they shouldn't allow it, but I'm not necessarily going to judge you. You know, you got a family. You don't want to be embarrassed on TV. Elle, you intrigued?
I mean, the Angels aren't really going anywhere, but I love Shohei Ohtani for one reason specifically, that I get to do his highlights on SportsCenter, and I get to pay tribute to one of my favorite talent shows of all time. It's Shohei Ohtani tonight.
Wow. Wow.
I do it probably more than I should.
Yes.
And, but it's good.
Two
it's
Americas great. In the house. Monica, you two intrigued. Americas.
I am not really intrigued because there's playoff basketball. But that's nice. I'll check. I'll do the highlights when Elle does the highlights, and I'll be excited.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You ain't even give baseball none of your time and effort. You're just like, I'm a little busy. All right, cool. That is our show. Check Elle Duncan out on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. Also, check her out on First Take, Her Take podcast. She does with Charlie Arnold and Kim Martin. Monica McNutt, check her Friday morning, filling in for Jay Will on KJZ on ESPN Radio.
Ooh, Monica, I have one more for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Who's the master? Shohei Nuff.
Oh, I got it. It took me a minute, but I got it.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were asking Monica to jump the time-space continuum on that.